Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. Really glad to be with you. Thank you so much for joining us. Coming to you live from the Noble Gold Studios. Hey, don't fall victim to the banks. They can keep your money. You know that we've quoted the law often enough. Your retirement's at risk too. Let Noble Gold fix it for you. Go to DaveHodgesGold.com, DaveHodgesGold.com, or call 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347. Tell them I told you to call. Hey, we're going to do a joint broadcast here between myself and Stephen Bannoun of Israeli News Live. And we're going to be talking about Charlie and related issues. By the way, Stephen is Jewish. So please save me the anti-Semitic comments. He and I have been friends for years. You'll hear us talk about that. But, you know, this is all about politics and governments. It's not about ethnicity, religion, or anything like that. Hey, stay tuned. Think you're going to enjoy the broadcast? Let me know what you think. Send us a comment.
Good afternoon, friends. Stephen Bannoun here. It is November the 9th, 2025. Earlier today, I said 2026. I guess I'm getting ahead of myself, Dave. So, Dave Hodges with CommonSenseShow.com. And Dave is a very good friend. We've been doing shows together with John Moore, other places like that for a long time. My wife sent me a video that he did not long ago. And Dave, that was brilliant. The psychology and the evaluation that you were doing. And I forget, I know that I'm getting blank on names unless I write them down. I didn't write them down today. But anyway, if you could maybe, I want you to take it the direction you want to go in, but if you can just help us remember the guy's name, he's the pastor's son. Is that right?
Oh, you're talking about the suspicious behavior with TPUSA.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I remember. I don't remember
because
the name of the
here.
Episode. Yeah. I put that. It's on my website, and it was also on our YouTube channel. Might have made it to Rumble. I've taken a few days off Rumble. You know, I suppose we could. Let me tell you what I've narrowed this down to. You know, the suspects, and you know, I'm not a forensic guy, although I could be some because of my work with the Kennedy assassination. But I don't know that I could take everything I have into court and win because I'm not an attorney. But I can tell you, I can smell BS from a mile away. And Tyler James Robinson, or I call him Lee Harvey Robinson, did not do that shooting. Did not. The angle, I've talked to snipers, Steve, and they're all consistent. I don't care if they're Green Beret, ex-Marine Corps, whatever it was. They say the same thing, that it was an 8-degree slope from that rooftop, and the bullet would have had to enter Charlie's mouth, broke his teeth. No, that didn't happen. And his 30-06 would have taken his head off. End of story, not the kid. You don't even need to go any further. And clearly we have evidence planting with the Antifa stuff for obvious reasons. Now, do I think Trump is involved? No, I do not. Do you think he was involved? I don't think J.D. Vance was involved. But I will tell you this, they're covering it up at the FBI level. And my theory is they're afraid of the blowback on Israel if they are indeed guilty. And if they are, well, then that could endanger the Middle East peace agreement. And this is why Trump needs to keep the peace. And it's a hell of a thing. He and Charlie were close. And he might not be in the White House today had it not been for Charlie. Trump did not do this. This is the only thing I disagree with Candace Owens on. Okay. Cover up from the Cash Patel level. Yeah. But Steve, I have a theory about that. And then I'll get to the three-headed monster here. I think the FBI has purposely done the worst investigation ever into an assassination. And I think they've done it because they want people like you and me to keep looking at it. They know that they've got to play along for the reasons I just said. But they are pissed off. They don't want anything to do with the cover-up. So they're just making it as bad as they can make it. And they know it's bad. They know this is bad. Okay, you brought up the pastor's son and the pastor. You're talking about Pastor McCoy and his son, Mikey McCoy, who was chief of staff at TPUSA. There's some really suspicious behaviors at that time. And I've shown the video. Mikey McCoy is standing maybe 5 to 6 feet away from Charlie when he's shot. He has a cell phone like this, but it doesn't look like he's talking, but it's up. It's up like he's listening for a ring. That would be my guess. And then when Charlie is shot, he doesn't dive for cover, which I would understand. Okay, self-preservation. He doesn't do that. He doesn't turn around and try to attend to Charlie, despite the misconception or the outright lie his father told at the memorial in Glendale, Arizona. My son was covered in blood. No, he wasn't. He turns and immediately walks away around the tent, comes out the other side. Now, later, you see basically footage from a cell phone camera. They're carrying Charlie's body out to the SUV, which is, I have a problem with that as well. We'll get to that. And then Mikey McCoy is seen off in the distance, continuing to walk away. That's suspicious behavior one. And what his father said, maybe he was mistaken. Maybe he's covering up. I don't know, but he was wrong. And then the other thing that you see, Stephen, is the two cameramen. They jump over these little mini barriers, take out the SIM cards, disassemble the video camera directly behind Charlie and where he was sitting. And then later, when they were challenged on it, Mikey McCoy said, the police told us to do it. That is horse hockey. That's a felony because it's basically interfering in a crime scene. But where were the police? Why weren't the yellow tape out? Why weren't they there securing the scene? I can tell you why, Stephen. There wasn't security or anything close to adequate security. I published a copy of UVU's security agreement for an event like this. And on the first line, it says security needed, yes, no, there'll be a charge, blah, blah, and all that stuff. Then I looked at what has become public, the agreement between the local chapter of TPUSA and UVU, and that line for security was eliminated. And to add to the mystery, where was the EMS? Why didn't they take Charlie to the hospital in an ambulance? I mean, that's more life-saving than throwing him in the back of an SUV.
Absolutely.
Everything is wrong. They didn't have a clear, they didn't do a walkthrough of any of the buildings. They didn't check the rooftops. They could have had drones in the air, but they did not have adequate security. And I got to tell you, for an event like this, generally, they should have had 40 security people, and I base that on past UVU type events that Charlie attended. And I can't find evidence there was anybody there for security except for the guys who are, up there on the stage. This whole thing stinks. And then we know that Charlie said, we want to go in a different direction with Israel. He said that in print, and that's been validated on Jesse Waters' show by Andrew Colvett, the director of media relations for TPUSA. And we know that there was big time arguing the night before, and also on that text exchange that Candace Owens made public, that's been validated. So Charlie was in conflict over alienating the Jewish donors like Ackman and Schiller and so forth. And they wanted the money to keep flowing. Charlie said, I'm not their puppet. We're going to pivot away from Israel first, and I may bring Candace Owens back. So, I know you probably got a million questions, but Stephen, this whole thing stinks. All arrows point to Israel, okay? But I don't know you could get a conviction in court because you need a person. And also,
Right.
TPUSA looks like they were involved in a sloppy cover-up. And then, of course, it would take Utah State authorities and the FBI to allow the cover-up of the crime scene. And here's what Dr. David Machkin told me when I interviewed him. He's a forensic psychologist. He said the only reason you would do that at a crime scene that quickly, cover it up, pave it over, is so you couldn't retrieve bullet fragments that could not be ballistically traced to the alleged gun that did the assassination. So, I mean, the cover-up is multifaceted, but the cover-up really, I believe, starts with TPUSA and the lie that the police told TPUSA to disassemble the evidence. It's not even
You know,
believable, Stephen.
100%, Dave. You know, here's what's really strange, Dave, and I want to get your take on this. One of the things, and I mentioned this to my wife, I said, you know, we're a little bitty fish. We only got 400,000 subscribers. You know, we were on national television for a year, so that's how we kind of got known as well. But we were a lot like Charlie, very pro-Zionist for many, many years, hardcore at that,
Me
and
too.
then we started going away. We started pulling away. For me, it was actually Syria. when the children got gassed, that was what kind of started it for me. Yana, it was a different issue. She got into the Noahide laws and really started diving deep into that with Dr. Lorraine Day, things of that nature. Anyway, we spoke publicly, not only online, but we began to do a lot of meetings around the country until we got met by a couple of guys that both were Israeli citizens at a conference in Tennessee at a church there in just outside of Nashville, packed out church. And the guy comes up, Dave, and he says to me like this, speaking in fluent Hebrew, by the way. He was Chechenian, but also Israeli. He said, "You and your wife have gone way off course, and we know people that can help you, and you need to get back on track before it's too late." Well, Dave, you know the story about our family. I won't go into mentioning names, but
No, I know. I know.
they're right. So
I know.
we got hit with 21 mils of peroxide a couple of years after that. My father-in-law died. Jana almost died from it. The differences in death and the reasons, though, had a lot to do with age and dosage. Yana got double dose, her dad got quadruple dose, I got a single dose. So we all ended up with issues. But my point is in this, when you look at Charlie was affecting millions, and he affected young voters, future Zionists. Basically, and keeping it basically, even if they're not Zionists, if they just at least have respect that Israel is the authority and that it's okay for AIPAC to flood Congress and the Senate with all this money, that's his mission statement that the donors were pushing. Not that Charlie was pro-Israel, and he still is pro-Israel even at his death, but he began to challenge the narrative of what Netanyahu and his coalition were doing.
Exactly. It was
That's what
Netanyahu, not
changed
the
everything.
Jewish people.
Right.
Yeah,
No.
I
I
agree.
mean, I just yesterday I interviewed Mayor Bruchim. Me and my wife interviewed him. He's the school teacher out of Tel Aviv, a civics teacher, and also a history professor at the University of there in Tel Aviv. And he was put in prison by his own government, 4 days. He won his case against them, though they were trying to charge him for treason, only because he began to look at what's happening in Gaza and he began to publish articles about families that had died that he knew that was totally wrong. They were not Hamas. He said, "Hamas, what they did, yes, it was terrible. I agree." He said, "I won't even go into the fact that the government didn't even respond until 6, 8 hours after it started. That's a different
Exactly.
issue."
And isn't it true that the Israelis brag that they can cover any amount of territory inside Israel within 3 minutes?
Exactly right. I'm a survivor of a suicide bomb attempt, or not attempt, actually a suicide bomber on September 22nd, 2004, up near French Hill and outside of Jerusalem there. So I know how rapid, within about a minute and a half, every military branch that we have in Israel was on the scene. It was phenomenal at the speed that they can move. And this little kibbutz down there that's only, even by a car, it's no more than about 20 minutes south of Tel Aviv. And you tell me they can't get there. What about a helicopter? What about, you know? So Charlie questioned that, and rightfully so. He questioned Iran. You know, Charlie truly was America first.
Well, he did
And when he
say
began
stand
to
down w with regard to Netanyahu on October 7th. He used that word on the PVV show. I've seen the
And
tape.
I actually, Dave, I got on October 8th, a good friend of mine. I won't call his name because, you know, I don't know if he'd want me to do that, but he sent me a message. He said, "Stephen," he says, "I'm going to give you a friend of mine. He's IDF. He actually was assigned to that very battalion, and he has a written statement that he wanted you to be able to read." He sent that to me. He said I could publish it, and I did. And he said we were given stand down orders.
I've heard. I've heard.
So, and
In
that's
fact,
already come up in the Knesset now.
they suspended the patrols on the border leading into that town as well, where they would have
Yes.
normally had an IDF patrol there. And then I've seen, and these got scrubbed, but for a while on social media, ex-IDF intel and soldiers, I probably saw six, seven accounts saying it was a stand down. We should have been there. We should have been able to intercept and interrupt.
Absolutely.
Especially the ones that were coming in with the parasailing, that would have taken about 20 minutes in the air. Should have been covered. They should have been shot down.
And every plane was grounded. Even Jonathan Pollard had a friend of his that was sitting in the helicopter, ready to go, fully locked and loaded, and was told, "You're not flying. Stay on the tarmac." And I
Reminds
think
me
he
of
was told for
Benghazi.
4 hours.
This is Benghazi all over again, what you just said. I
Yeah.
covered admiral and then a general, head of AFRICOM, head of an aircraft carrier at a task force. They were coordinating to rescue the ambassador and his three bodyguards. And they were ready to launch when their executive officers, unknown to them, were CIA and arrested both of them on the spot and stopped the rescue. So it's the same thing, same MO. You know what I found too, Stephen, is my work with the Kennedy assassination really prepared me for this because, you just get a sense and you can see when something's wrong. You can smell a cover story a mile away. This, and it's so bad. That's why I think it's an intentional screw up by the FBI to keep us looking at it. I mean, it makes the Warren Commission look like a fact-finding mission. I'm
You
just
know, Dave,
stunned.
the Warren Commission, I actually worked with one of the guys that was on the Warren Commission. And it was really kind of interesting because later in life, he's actually my boss. He wasn't the sniper that I was assigned to when I worked with the CIA, but he was actually just my boss. And he tells me later, he says, AC was the first guy's in first initials. We always called him AC. He said, "Steve, he was part of the Warren Commission." And I said, "Well, really, And I didn't at the time. I didn't know very much about the Kennedy assassination." He said, "Yeah." He said, "You don't know what his job was, though, do you?" Said, "No." And I actually looked him up one day, and it was true. He was. I wish I could think of his last name right now, but I can't think of it now. I didn't know the guy that well, but I did cross his path quite a bit. He said he was assigned to the Warren Commission to make sure your partner was never discovered.
Oh, do you? I didn't go down the Israeli angle in the Warren Commission, and I could have. There were a couple leads I could have followed. I didn't. I mean, to me, it was pretty cut and dried. It was the Corsican mafia that CIA to our mafia couldn't have local assassins brought in Corsican mafia. The guy on the grassy knoll, Lucian Sarti, that's been dead right nailed. And I believe he's the one that fired the fatal headshot. I don't think I know. And that's the avenue I went with this. What I did come across, though, was Kennedy was not going to open up the pocketbooks to Israel at the level that they wanted for military aid. By the way, do you know how much aid we've given Israel? It's been $3 trillion since 1973. But listen to this. $1.4 trillion of it has been in the last 2 years. The last
Oh.
2 years. Oh, yeah. Oh, this is horrendous. We've given Israel for what's going on in Gaza, we've given them $34 billion of direct military aid for that. I mean, that's what this Middle East peace deal is worth to Trump. And do I agree with him? No. I think if we walked from Israel, I think Netanyahu would be overthrown.
Something needs to happen because I was just as I was talking to a good friend of mine that's a Jewish lady. We were discussing this issue with Gaza, and she said, "Do you realize what this is going to cost us?" She said, "Nowhere can you go as a Jewish person that people are not going to hate you because of what Netanyahu does." And she said, "No matter how much we try to voice against it and try to stand for humanity, it won't matter." She said, "In another couple of years, we will be so hated just the very name that you're Jewish or you're from, you live in Israel or whatever, you'll be hated for it. So
Well, there's a rebellion
it's
among
crazy.
Jews I'm seeing, and let me give you a stat that was surprising to me. In exit poll that were taken after the New York City mayor election, it's estimated that one third of all Jewish people voted for Mamdani, who in his younger days said from river to the sea. That's how much the people in New York hate the system now. I mean, I'm still in awe that a Jewish person would vote for this guy, but that shows you how bad they think the system is and how alienated they are from someone like Netanyahu.
Yes. Well, going back to the Charlie Kirk's assassination, what are some of your key thoughts on this? I know you've examined this from a lot of different angles, and you do it in a lot of ways that I don't even think about because I don't have the expertise on that. So what else have you gleaned from this?
Well, I like to look at, when you look at a murder, like man's killed, the first person they're going to look at is the wife and the insurance policy. So, I try to be the good detective and say, okay, who had motive? And I can see two potential groups that had motive. Okay, it's no secret that Netanyahu wants American boots on the ground in Iran to conquer Iran. Okay, and by the way, Netanyahu, as your people listen to this, no way in hell is that going to happen in my country. Okay, now, I think that's one motive. And what do they need to do to convince? Well, who are the people that are going to get drafted and sent there? They're the kids that go to TP USA. That's who. And so there, I think, is one possible motive. Now, can I say that's definitively correct? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm just being a detective and I'm looking at my whiteboard, and there's one motive to look at. And it's a true motive because Netanyahu has said we're going to have to take care of Iran eventually before they take care of us, in words to that effect. Okay, so TP USA. And here's Charlie, okay, criticizing Gaza. And he said on another podcast he was on, I've seen the podcast, that there's a genocide going on in Gaza. And he prefaces by saying, I better be careful how I say this, but there's a genocide going on in Gaza. Those were Charlie's words. Well, those are fighting words for Netanyahu. And then you go down
Yes.
a little further, and he says 2 days before he's killed, in writing and verified by TP USA, we're going to have to pivot away from the Israel first. And that's pretty close to a quote. So, and also we've got the report that Netanyahu offered Charlie 150 million, but he wouldn't go to Israel and meet with him. So he snubbed him. So we have that aspect of it. And then they had that meeting in the Hamptons where allegedly the Jewish donors like Bill Ackman is just went nuts on him, and then Schiller went nuts on him. So you've got motive on one side, that doesn't mean guilt. And I want to be really clear about that. It doesn't mean guilt, but it should have been looked at by the FBI. And let's talk about the FBI just for a second in relation to what I just said. You've got Joe Kent, who's the head of counterterrorism and is a deputy to Tulsi Gabbard, the director of national intelligence. He's digging into FBI files looking for a foreign involvement in Charlie's killing. And what does Patel do? He freaks out. They have a meeting at the White House with Susie Wiles, the chief of staff to Trump, and Patel and Joe Kent and Tulsi Gabbard. And I guess it was pretty heated from what people are saying. But listen to this. Not only did they block Joe Kent from getting FBI files, so there you go, the FBI doesn't want foreign involvement to even be looked at. They're hiding, they're covering up. But listen to this, Stephen. Wiles, Trump's chief of staff, helped Netanyahu in his 2023 campaign. Can you believe that? You want to talk about a stacked deck for a cover-up? God,
Elsie had
I wish this
never
wasn't
had a
true.
chance.
And I want to say this too, okay? I had someone write to me, and I haven't got much pushback on anti-Semitic angle, okay? I'm not anti-Semitic. I have been like what you described, Steve. I was pretty much a Zionist. I admired the way Israel survived, the people survived the Holocaust, built a nation that was strong. I wanted America to support them. And if Israel was attacked today, I would give my blessing to our defending Israel. Okay, it's not about that. It's about I will not support Netanyahu's abuse of the West Bank people that are non-Hamas, and I won't support using American boots on the ground in Iran, which he wants. I won't support his foreign wars of imperialism. And we give him way too much money as it is anyway. They've got 400 nuclear weapons. Okay, they're capable of defending themselves, and I don't mind some technical aid here and there, but we don't need to throw mass money. And Steve, what really pisses me off is the Israeli people, with all the money we send them, and right now, what is it? The bill is like $800 a month for a family of four, an American family of four, for the support of Israel. What really pisses me off, though, is that the Israelis get free health care, and Stephen, they also get free college for 4 years. Well, maybe we're giving them a little bit too much money because our people don't have free health care. We don't have free college for 4 years. So what the hell are we doing?
We're funding everything for Israel. So it's not America first, it's Israel first.
Exactly.
And I mean, think about it, Dave. You have when Netanyahu came over about midstream through that war with Gaza, you had both the Senate and the Congress there on the floor that day, standing ovation. And I'm sitting here watching this and I'm like, are you kidding me? This man openly is involved in a genocide. And I even said today on my teaching broadcast, I got so fed up. And I said to Christians, I said, that are Zionists specifically, I said, are you kidding me? I mean, what are you doing? What are you supporting? You know, I mean, it's like Barabbas. And then on top of it, I said, you know how bad it is that we look at these little children and the mothers that are dying, being blown to bits. I said, that's horrible in itself. I said, but do you know what the biggest crime that's been done thus far over there? It was actually October the 7th. I said, no, I'm not talking about Hamas. I'm talking about the betrayal of Israeli citizens by somebody in that government that sold them down the river to justify the genocide of Gaza. I said, that's the greater crime. I said, if I was an Israeli, I would be horrified that my government sold me out, helped fund and train Hamas to do the attack. Then pull all the security, not just pull out, Dave, they didn't just pull out the military detail that patrols that area. They came in a month before to all the settlements along there, like Sedaros. Sedaros, the main one that got hit. And they took, and they first, they pulled out the entire armory that they had there to protect themselves in case they do get overrun and the military's not there. They pulled all the weapons out and said, you don't need these.
Oh my gosh, I did
Then
not
they
know
come
that.
in
Thank you for telling me that.
2 days before, and also they pulled the military detail that protects the communities at the gate.
I do
They
know that.
about a week before that, they pulled them out and said you have to get your own security. Then they take and they go to there was there's this one station, he's like a backup source that has all the computers and he monitors all the cameras in motion and things like that. They came in the day before the attack and pulled all of his computers out of his place. After the attack, they came back and put him in. He was on Israeli television, weeping and crying. He said, had I had my equipment, I could have warned the military that they were under attack. And somebody asked him, the guy in the interview, he says, what difference would it would have made? He said Hamas would have never gotten through. The
You know,
girls that
Stephen, I got to give you a historical parallel.
go ahead, go ahead, go ahead.
My dad was at Pearl Harbor as a young ensign. And it's because of his electrical prowess, they just put him right in as an ensign. He was 19 years old when he went in. And he's in Pearl Harbor, and they're putting fake radar on ships. And it's because they knew they were being watched by Japanese spies. And the Japanese would like do the transmission like Yankees 4, Yankee could have been an aircraft carrier, the Brooklyn Dodgers 2, and that could have been destroyers. And that's how they were transmitting ship movements and so forth. And just coincidentally, before Pearl Harbor, we moved all four aircraft carriers, the one ship we couldn't lose and win in the Pacific, we moved them out to sea. The Japanese fleet was spotted off the coast of the Aleutian Islands. That was radioed to the Secretary of War. He ignored Henry Stenson. And then a destroyer sunk, the Maddox sunk a two-man Japanese submarine that they've now since recovered, and they recovered it in the 80s. And the radar picked up the Japanese coming in from the east, you know, they wanted to come in out of the rising sun, and they were told to stand down and ignore that. And the reason why, and this is what most historians will even believe and tell you today, that when Einstein and Szilard and all these other people defected to the United States, they told President Roosevelt about bombs that could destroy cities, i.e., nuclear weapons. So we needed a way into the war because isolationist America would never have gone along with it. And so we pushed Japan to attack us by going through the McCollum 8-point plan, violating territorial waters, helping the Chinese with the Flying Tigers. There were six more points I won't go into, but we antagonized them to attack us. The big one was not sending them scrap metal so they could industrialize. And I'm telling you, as you're unfolding this story, my mind goes back point to point to point on the McCollum plan that led our involvement into World War II. And the only people that were surprised on that day were the 2,300 sailors and soldiers that lost their lives because we knew it was coming and we wanted it to happen. Now, maybe in retrospect, it was the right thing to do. Get the jur. And isn't it funny, too? Japan attacks us, but we declared war on Germany first, which was the objective. Congress declared war on Germany before they declared war on Japan. And we went to a German-first strategy. I know. And we were uninvolved in the war except for merchant marine shipments and lend-lease to England. You look at that and you're just saying, you're describing very similar types of strategies with regard to the October 7th attack, very similar to Pearl Harbor.
And then going back, even USS Liberty, very similar situation. They wanted to sink that ship so they could drag us into a world war. They didn't get the world war because they survived it. I know Phil Turney said to me not long ago, he's one of the survivors, and he finally started his own channel up and everything. And he says, "Now I'm not holding back any longer." So, I'm like, good for him. Good for him.
No, Stephen, I hear exactly what you're saying. And at the end of the day, most wars are started in this fashion. I mean, the Germans had a fake Polish attack on a German outpost to justify rolling the tanks into Poland. I mean, they false flagged that one too. And most wars start in this, they start one of two ways. One is a false flag to get the people on your side and justify the war. And the other one is just, you're just going to attack, but you want to disguise it. So you do what's called a snap drill, and you're doing military drills, and it just turns into a real action. And those are the two primary ways that wars tend to start. And we certainly saw the first one in Gaza. There's no question. And Charlie called it out. See, back to the Charlie Kirk thing. He called it out on the PBV show. And I've watched that about 10 times. And he was saying it with hesitation. And let's go to the second group, though. I think it best case scenario, TP USA's actions, disassembling the crime scene, walking away without giving aid. No one had blood on them, so they didn't try to suppress the blood loss that was going on. And the videos are very, very clear about that. TP USA, did his inner circle turn on Charlie? Because millions of dollars were at risk and they would have lost position, power, or whatever, certainly money. They had just, in fact, Charlie, 2 days before in that text exchange I've mentioned we just lost a $2 million donor. Maybe I should bring Candace Owens back. And they had a big argument in text about that. And no one believed Candace when she said it, Stephen. She came out with this pretty much within the first week of Charlie's death. Oh, she's lying. She's
Yes.
making it up. That's what TPUS say. And then here comes the text, and Andrew Colvett was forced to admit it was real on Jesse Waters' show. So,
You know,
I
I
mean,
have to say, God bless that girl for standing
she's
up and
incredible.
fighting for this man the way
I'm a
she's
fan
done.
of Candace Owens. I greatly
Yeah, I
respect
am
her.
as well.
But she has the ability to surround herself with security, and I don't want to get into the reasons how I know that. It has to do with family connections, and that's as much as I'm going to say, because I've learned some private things that I don't want to air because I respect Candace. But I think she's relatively safe. I'll tell you who I think is in danger. If you look at it, the Zionist element of the independent media, and I'll be very specific about this, Ben Shapiro, Laura Loomer, and that crowd going after Tucker Carlson. I mean, and Mark Levin, who, and I had so much respect for Mark Levin. I bought his book, Marxism. It's a tremendous book. He was right on the money. He championed the conservative cause during the dark years of Biden. And then he's doing this. We're going to support Netanyahu when he's doing this. We're going to keep sending money that we can't afford to send to Israel. Why? We got SNAP payments at home that were going unpaid, and two-thirds of the kids on SNAP are children. And Mark Levin was okay with that as long as Israel gets their money. I mean, I couldn't believe it. But anyway, he called Tucker Carlson at an event a bastard. And Tucker Carlson is anti-American, according to Laura Loomer. And Ben Shapiro's basically echoed those statements. Excuse me. Tucker is not on Fox because he told the truth too much. That's why he's on
Right.
the, well, he interviewed Nick Fuentes. Okay, he didn't endorse Nick Fuentes. Fuentes attacked Tucker's father. He talks to people from all spectrums. That doesn't make him an ally. Yet they
Right.
use that as the, and I'll tell you, that's the excuse they're using to go after Tucker, is he interviewed Nick Fuentes, who is repulsive and revolting in his statements. And Tucker has said that about him. They're making that up to justify the fact that Tucker went after Ted Cruz in an interview on his show recently, and he said, Israel owns you. And he said,
Oh,
you're for
yes.
Israel before you're for America. And that's why they're going after Tucker.
Yes, that's exactly right. Jeez. Well, Dave, we're
There's a
probably
real
getting
fight right
close
now
to.
in our media. Okay, and look, I always thought Laura Loomer was a little off, and I'll be say it nicely. When Ben Shapiro got in his deal with Candace Owens, okay, well, it didn't take me 2 seconds to figure out who was right. Okay, I saw through Ben Shapiro's actions. My son was a big Ben Shapiro fan. When he came to my son's university, my son went and heard him speak, and he was a big fan until he fired Candace Owens. And he saw right through it, as a lot of people did. It's
Yes.
Israel first, to hell with America. And Stephen, we're not even second. $40 billion are going to Argentina. And I've exposed this, but not many people know this, for a guy named Citrone who lost billions. Now, who's Citrone in his hedge fund? Oh, he used to be partnered with Scott Bessent, the Secretary of Treasury. That's why we're sending the $40 billion. And after that was announced, he went and bought more Brazilian bonds. 40 billion, and then 250 billion to Ukraine. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Why, we had kids that needed $4 billion to continue the SNAP payments. Now, I'm happy to report that it looks like there's been a deal reached to open the government up. But there were still kids going hungry. And that's on this administration right now. Would I vote for Trump again? Yeah, because a bad Trump is better than a Democrat. But I am pissed off at Trump that he, well, okay, first of all, it's not Trump's fault for the shutdown. That's Congress. Okay. And he's wrongly getting the blame. But I think he could have killed the deal with Argentina. He could be cutting back aid to Ukraine. You know, and isn't it funny that we cut off the spigot to kids and food, but we continue sending money to Israel, Argentina, and Ukraine?
There you
Doesn't
go,
that bother
Dave.
you?
There you go. You just cut. Hey, what was it? That was, hang on. I wrote down, you got Marjorie Taylor Greene, you got Thomas Massie, and now they're talking about they're doing a 20, what is it, $1 million campaign to unseat him. A new one that just popped up,
Oh yeah,
getting a little
let's
break.
talk about that for a second before you go to the next point. I don't want you to skip over Massey. That's a great observation. Here's a guy that's demanding the release of the Epstein files, and I agree with him. I don't care who's on it. Let the you know, as Shakespeare said, you know, may the heavens fall, let justice prevail. Massey's right about that. Massey's right about aid to Israel, and Adelson, this Israeli citizen, is giving $20 million to Massey's opponent for his re-election because he's putting America first. That's election
Exactly.
interference.
He can't.
That's election
Tucker
interference,
interviewed him,
Stephen.
right?
Yeah.
Did you see the interview with Tucker? He interviewed Thomas, and Thomas says, "I can't be bought by AIPAC." He said, "I'm not
Yeah.
against Israel." He said, "But I'm just not going to have AIPAC tell me what I can and cannot say. I'm not going to be bought." Marjorie is out there saying now, and I think Marjorie was pro-Israel at one time, but she started seeing all the mess going on, and Marjorie's
Oh.
like, "Look, we got to stop pouring all the billions of dollars into Israel and put it here in America where it belongs."
She just introduced an amendment to a bill in Congress to cut $500 million of military aid to Israel. And I will tell you, not only do I think Tucker's in danger, I think Marjorie Taylor Greene's in danger. And I'm going to tell you why, Stephen, I
She
believe
came
this.
out and said publicly, Dave, she said, "I'm not suicidal." She said, "You know what's
Well,
so
I know. I read
terrible?
that. I read that. Yeah.
Right?
But let me
Why
tell
do I
you,
even have to say it?"
no, well, because she's fearful as she should be. But you remember, this was a woman, a sitting congressperson, who was SWAT teamed four times in her own house on erroneous reports. And you know how things can go wrong in a SWAT team raid very quickly, where innocent people being killed. And I
Yeah.
used to think, okay, it's the left. It's people opposed to her, you know, the Soros crowd, whoever it might be. That was my suspicion list. But you know what, Stephen? Given what's happened to Charlie, I'm not so sure I was pointing the finger in the right direction at who was doing this to Marjorie Taylor Greene. That's why I think she's in danger.
Yes, you're right. You're right, Dave. And do you, isn't it how, isn't it pitiful? I mean, we have two really strong people in Congress. There's one other, Raphael Warnock. I don't know much about him yet, but I've started seeing a little bit about him making a little bit of a stand. And over in, and of course, now Thomas and Marjorie, they're the only Republicans that are in there. I think Raphael is a Democrat. But I mean, I'm look. I did a message today on Zechariah 8 and Ezekiel 37, and because I understand the Hebrew language, I did one about 5 years ago on it. But I really went off in there, Dave, because I'm like I'm dumbfounded by how I actually, I said one of the things I said in there. I said, it's one thing to have, I forgot the word that I used in that thing, but I said it's one thing to be, kind of losing it in your mind. You got a bias because of your religious beliefs. I said, but I have a feeling most Zionist Christians, I said, you've been whopped in the head with a Scofield Bible and you've got amnesia. You've totally forgotten what the Word of God actually says. I said, church fathers never believed half the things you believe. I said, now Israel having their own land and stuff like that, that's fine. I have no problem with that. I said, but you're sitting there trying to say, oh, 10 people of the nations are going to take hold of the skirt of a Jew of the Jews, and we're all going to run to Israel and sing Kumbaya because they have the truth. I said, Jesus told you, the Pharisees, he tells you their lineage, indicts them for the bloodshed all the way back to Cain in the Garden of Eden. And you can't be a Orthodox rabbi in Judaism, I know this for a fact, unless you can trace your lineage back to the Pharisees. I said, now, where are you guys? I mean, and not to mention, Zechariah says, take hold of the skirt. It says, v'hiziku ish Yehudi. They take a hold of the, or actually the bikanaf, bikanaf ish Yehudi. They take a hold of the wing or the skirt of a Jewish man, singular, not plural, not all the rabbis in Israel, one Judean guy. Then they say, we hear God is with you. That goes into the plural, but that was the day of Pentecost. I said, what's wrong with you guys? How did y'all manage to get this messed up? And yet, if you read everything before it, Dave, there's going to be peace and there's going to be love your neighbor as yourself, do justice. I said, you guys are out there sending bombs over to Israel to make sure they blow up all the Palestinians. And you're saying, like Nikki Haley and everything, finish them. And of course, like Mir said when he was on the program yesterday, he Hamas? He said, do I like Hamas? No, I don't like Hamas at all. He said, but Netanyahu funded them. Netanyahu gave them the money. Why? Because Netanyahu doesn't want any peace in this region of the world or chaos and everything. He said, Steve, I went to school. I was Palestinians are dumb, stupid, ignorant people like us. What we're taught in school day after day after day. He said, you people long enough, we're going to believe it.
Yeah, but that doesn't
He said, I
justify
never learned it.
genocide. I don't care how dumb or stupid someone is. They don't deserve to be
Right.
genocided.
And he said, the thing is, he said, why couldn't we have been taught? Like when he said, the people that learn the Arabic language, why don't you learn their culture? Why don't you try to learn about them?
No, Steve, I
You
couldn't
know?
agree with you more on that. And you're right. We need to have a message of tolerance and peace, and we don't. But as long as we have 89% of Congress taking money from AIPAC, the only foreign lobbyist group that doesn't have to register, and they're in bed with the military-industrial complex in America that wants these wars so they can make money, these problems are going to continue. So the military-industrial complex is just as guilty as Netanyahu is because they're part of this.
Yes, very much.
It's military. Okay, it's AIPAC, Congress, money, military-industrial complex to Netanyahu. I mean, that's the cycle right there, and I believe it's very probable that Charlie was a casualty of this, not conforming. And I don't think it's last casualty we've seen. You know, one thing, and I know we got to close because we're right at the end, but I've never seen a world leader with a political assassination in a country other than his own come out two times very quickly and deny involvement. What does Shakespeare say? I think thou doth protest too loudly.
That one, I don't know that one. You'd have to tell me that, Dave.
Well, I learned that from Jim Garrison in the only trial held on the Kennedy assassination. So I'm not going to get credit for being overly scholarly. I borrowed that from the late Jim Garrison. So, but anyway, Steve, I know we got to run because we're out of time, but we're going to have to do this more often. I really appreciate your insight.
Yes.
Okay. And I appreciate your background and the expertise you bring, especially having been a member of the CIA. I really do appreciate that. But let's.
Well, I hate that I was ever there, but I guess it does. The only thing I can say, Dave, is it helped me to realize what we did and the staging scenes and the normally months of planning in advance of assassinations. It gave me the ability to kind of look at this differently
I hear
from
you.
that perspective. And
On
just like
my
when my
end,
wife sent me
I'm sorry,
to
but on my end, they're going to
psychology,
go ahead.
my wife sent me your videos and I told her, I said, Dave is a trained psychologist. I said, no wonder why he can examine this the way he does. And, so Dave, you're right. And people, listen, the commonsenseshow.com, Dave Hodges, you want to follow his work. Brilliant man. I've known Dave for a long time now. And, kind of miss him over on John's show, but I know he's got a lot of things going on
I'll
in
be
his
back.
life,
We just
but I
got to get some
appreciate
things straightened out with scheduling, but I'll be back with John.
that. There you go.
Well, anyway, it's
Bye.
great doing this with you. We're going to have to do it again sooner rather than later, Stephen. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dave.
Take care. Welcome to the Common Sense Show. I'm the host, Dave Hodges, for the show, Freeing America, One Enslaved Mind at a Time. Hey, I want to thank you all for supporting us on Patreon. We'd hope that you would all continue to do so. We put that money to good use for equipment, expanded opportunities. We are planning some trips to do some individual reporting. And I don't know if you've heard, we're writing a book. Oh, yeah. The Common Sense Show is writing a book on AI. And it's a book in a way with AI with topics you're really not seeing. It's not so much dealing with the Terminator effect. You'll see. It's going to be coming out soon. We're looking for a publisher right now. If you got a suggestion, let me know. We'd appreciate it. We are brought to you by the NanoSoma products. I got two right here that I use. This is part of the starter pack. This saved my life. It raised my immune system to where I overcame the negative prognosis of strep lung linings from RSV that weren't coming back. They did because of this. Nothing else was working. What does this do? Oh, it's restorative, it's preventative, and it doesn't cure anything, but it boosts your immune system to really high levels. This I used for bone on bone when I was making my recovery. No bone on bone anymore. Pluripotent stem cells growing there. Now the legs are getting a lot stronger, and that becomes a buffer as well. These two are part of the three pack, which is the wrinkle cream. That's right. And also cuts and burns together, 15% off. It's called the starter pack. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. Well, I'm a contributor to Judicial Watch. I've long admired the courage of Tom Fitton and his willingness to stand up for the Constitution. The man's heart's in the right place. I don't have to get into pissing matches with, who's right in the alternative media and the intramural disputes that's going on right now over Israel. Tom is just right there and he says, this is what affects us. This is what we're going to put our attention on. This is what we can do legally. And what he did is he took a case to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals regarding election integrity. And we're going to take a look at that and a recent development today. Today. I'm going to show this on X here and I'll enlarge it a little bit here. But this is Tom from October 25th when they filed an action for election integrity with the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. And like I said, this was in the last week of October. Well, the Circuit Court of Appeals agreed with him. This has now even gone further. Let's go back and take a look at what happened on October 25th, and then I'll bring you up to date for today. This is really, really good news.
Huge Judicial Watch victory for the rule of law on elections. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals just ruled an hour or so ago that counting ballots that arrive days after Election Day is contrary to federal law, preempted by federal law. Mississippi counts ballots that arrive up to 5 days after Election Day. Judicial Watch challenged that in court, and the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals essentially said Judicial Watch is right. This is an historic victory for the rule of law. Too many states count ballots that arrive after Election Day. It's quite obviously contrary to the very notion of having an Election Day. It invites voter fraud and undermines voter confidence. Hopefully this victory is just the beginning and we can get back to Election Day across the nation.
And he's going to get his wish, maybe. Huge. Supreme Court just announced that perhaps as early as this week, they're going to take up the successful case that found the counting of ballots after Election Day was unlawful for the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. I have a question, though. I have a question. Why is this not being pursued by the Department of Justice? Pam Bondi, you got some questions to ask. How is it that a private citizen in Tom Fitton with no governmental hiring, no relationship to government, not representing the DOJ, can get this under the Supreme Court spotlight and correct what I think is election malfeasance? How does that happen without the DOJ involved? And one other thing, President Trump, you made your feelings clear about the 2020 election. Why aren't you commenting on this? This is huge. Now, for my money, and I'm sure a lot of you agree, same day voting. And absentee ballots can be cast, but only under dire, dire circumstances. Like overseas, you're serving in the military, you're in a combat zone, you're in a hospital bed. You can't possibly go count a vote or cast a vote. That's something I would agree with. There are exceptions to this, but wholesale accepting ballots days, and in some states, it's weeks. And I know Tom Fitton's going to take this across the nation once he gets that Supreme Court ruling. Let's hope that this goes through. There is no reason that we can't go back to a system that worked for over 200 years. Same day balloting. All in favor? Raise your hand. I would encourage all of you, if you can afford it, go to Judicial Watch. Pledge $1, $5, something to help them. They're doing the work of the DOJ that's not doing their job. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. Thank you for joining us.